Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Samach Dalad. We're on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud, and we are almost done with yesterday's daf. We'll conclude yesterday's daf, obviously go into today's daf, and I venture that we're going to get to Samach Dalad Amud Aleph, also the middle of the Amud as well. And tomorrow, a shorter daf, tomorrow we will be able to fully catch up. Anyway, yesterday's daf, so a lot of eitzes. The Gemara gave us a lot of advice, especially marital advice. Marital advice comes off of the Gemara regarding the mitzvah Puruvu. And so, obviously, we include in the mitzvah Puruvu is to get married. The two go hand in hand. And with that stated, so we talked yesterday about Nisha Tov, we talked about Nisha Ra, a good wife, bad wife, and so a lot of enjoyable, interesting discussions that we had yesterday. We're going to just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We start with the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So we are right in the middle. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The pasuk of Yirmiyahu is a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. Hinani mevi ra'a asher lo yichlu latzeis mimenu. So the Navi forecasts that that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring upon us something that's really bad, and we cannot extricate ourselves from it. And what is that? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravur, Zuisha Rav Ksuvas Amaruba. So it's a bad wife. It's a bad marriage. And it's a huge ksuva. So you can't extricate yourself from it. So yesterday, if I can remind everybody, so the Gemara says there is an Eitzah. There is an advice over there, one that we can't perform nowadays, but that is to marry a second wife. In other words, then the competition is going to be very effective and helpful towards the first wife. Okay, I know what I'm saying sounds really rough, but all I'm doing is just repeating what we learned yesterday's Gemara. Nasnani Hashem Biyadi, lo uchal kum. So the Gemara quotes the beginning of Eicha. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Marukva, Barchia, Zuisha Rau, Ksuvasa Maruba. So again, same basic idea, just a different pasuk to articulate this idea. And I'm sure if we were to slow down, we're not going to slow down, but if we were to slow down, so we can understand some subtleties and nuances in terms of learning this from the pasuk in either Yirmiyahu or from the pasuk in Eicha. Anyway, but we go ahead. So in Eretz Yisrael, so they take the pasuk in Eicha and they learn another halacha from this pasuk in Eicha. Of lo achal kum, I just can't get up, meaning I'm stuck. And that is somebody who needs to buy his food. In other words, what happens is that when you buy your food, so you're at the whims of the market. In other words, there are market forces like inflation and amounts and quantities and a little bit we're feeling it. So so that is the pasuk in Eicha. That's somebody who is mizonos of tulim bekaspo. Your food is really dependent on money, meaning on the market. So here we are learning more tochacha. This is the tochacha at the end of Chumash, in the end of Devarim. So Amarav Nechanan, Barav, Amarav, Zueshes Av. So your children will be given over to a foreign nation. So this is talking about somebody who, Rachmanis, doesn't have a wife and marries a woman and already has had children from his previous wife. And so in other words, they're going to be given over to what we call a stepmother. Okay. A stepmother has a lot of connotation and our Gemara over here basically substantiates that. It subscribes to that. Meaning, okay, it's sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. So, Begoy Naval Achisam. I'm going to give you over to a Goy Naval, a nation Naval. Now, Naval means, right, there are a lot of negative adjectives that we could use to describe Naval, but the Gemara here is very specific in terms of who this Goy Naval is, this bad nation. So, Amar Rav Chanan Barava Amar Rav Zui Sharau Ksuvasa Maruba. So, the first pshat that we're going to offer has been apropos to the theme of today's discussion, which is the Goy Naval is a reference to a wife who's a bad wife. And again, the Ksuvah's Meruba, it's a huge Ksuvah, and you cannot extricate yourself from this marriage. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Eluat Tzedukim. Other interpretations of what the Goy Naval is. So another interpretation is that it is a Tzedukim. It's a reference to Tzedukim, right? That is a sectarian group that does not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. Started during Bayi Sheni. Okay, Vechenu Omer. Amar Naval Bilibo Einalukim. Okay, and the pasuk in Tehillim is a description of these types of people who are not mamon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not mamon in the Mesorah. Okay, the Tzedukim. Bimasli Satanu Elanche Barber Vanche Tarania. Shemaachan Arum in Beshuk. Another interpretation of Goy Naval. So it's the barbarians. Okay, probably the word is evolved from whatever the Gemara is making reference to. The Gemara is probably referring to some sort of nationality, but anyway, the Barbary, the Tartani, Shemaachan Arum Meshuk, and notably, so they walk around, they're not clothed. They don't cover up when they walk around publicly. Shein lecha meshuka tematul v'vnei amakum yosem imisha mahalach b'shuka amrum. Nothing is more disgusting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu than somebody walking around not modestly dressed. Rabbi Yochanan amar elu chavarim. Rabbi Yochanan says it's the Goyin Aval is a reference to the chavarim. Chavarim, so Rashi over here says it's a Persians. So amrli Rabbi Yochanan asu chavar lebavo. So and Rabbi Yochanan was told, you know, the Persians are making their way to Bavo. So shaga nafa. So he fell down. Meaning, as Rashi describes over here, that was terrible news. Now, the Persians were really, really difficult to the Jewish people. And when Rabbi Yochanan thought that, okay, the Jewish people would be at least comfortable in Bavel, meaning there are no Persians in Bavel, and meanwhile, the Persians made their way to Bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan is hearing the news in Eretz Yisrael. But still, in other words, bad news for the Jews. And he reacted, he responded, he fell down. In other words, he knew that this was going to be really bad for the Jews. So Amrle Mekaba Shochta. So he says, you know, the Persians do accept bribes. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, I'll get up from that. Meaning, that's a little bit of a recovery. So Tzuritz Yosef, so actually stood up, meaning he was able to sit up. Anyway, just a quick moment of Musar, meaning Rav Yochanan's living, right, hundreds of miles away from the affected party. And meanwhile, it hurt him. Okay, speaking to myself, meaning that when you hear about news about Jews living far away, okay, we should react like Rav Yochanan. Okay, Musar for the day. Gazer al gimel mibnei gimel. Okay, three gzeras that the Gemara is describing over here. Presumably, it's talking about the Persians. Not totally clear, but it sounds like the Gemara is still on point with the Persians in terms of the gzeras of the chavarim against the Jews. And the Gemara points out not only are we going to learn the gzeras together, but we're going to learn the reason why we're given these gzeras. Meaning, the Gemara is always the assumption always is that the gzeras are coming as a result of our averos. Okay, this is a kind of discussion that we don't have nowadays, meaning we don't say that we were given these onshim, these punishments because of these averos. We just simply don't have that kind of insight. We don't have this kind of knowledge base. But back in the day, so they could really look, mida keneged mida, meaning we were given this onish because of this avera. So number one, gazol abasim imnei amatanos. So one of the gzeras that were imposed on the Jewish people is that you can't eat shechted meat. And the reason why is because we weren't careful about matanos. Matanos over here, Rashi says, Zor lechai v'keva, three parts of every animal that you have to give to a kohen, you have to gift to a kohen. It's one of the matanos kahuna. The Gemara at the end of Chulin discusses this in detail. Actually gives the biology, the anatomy, exactly where they are in the animal. Anyway, we weren't careful about Zor lechai v'keva, even to this very day. We're not careful about Zor lechai v'keva. Okay, a number of reasons why the Gemara discusses, the Shulchan Aruch discusses. We're not going to discuss it right now. But anyway, they weren't careful about these matanos. Therefore, the gzera was, they can't eat shechted meat. Number two, gazol amechatzos mimnei atfila. There was a gzera amechatzos that we were not able to use bathhouses. And the reason why is because we weren't careful about toveling in the mikvah. Okay, slightly unclear in terms of its basic family purity and in other words, by the matanos, let me see if I can articulate myself well. By the matanos, like there is a justification, meaning it's rationalization. It's not correct, but there is a way to rationalize. Over here, like in other words, this is just a blatant ignoring halacha. Okay. Anyway, and number three, kamechate shachve mimnei shesmachem yamedam. So another gzera is that we had to unbury our dead. The Gemara is not very specific in terms of what exactly that means, meaning where did they go after, which burial plots, who were they? Anyway, but the gzera was is that we were forced to unbury our dead, and the reason why is because mechem yom idam, because we participated in their holidays. In other words, they had holidays, and we participated in their holidays. Shenemar v'ayisa yad Hashem b'chem u'v'avosechem. Okay? Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands on you and on your forefathers, meaning on your forefathers, a reference to the those that passed away, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them as well. How do you punish somebody who's no longer here? Okay, so the answer is the bodies were unburied. Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Zuchut Zei Shachve. Rabba Bar Shmuel says on this pasuk that we just learned exactly what we said, meaning that the bodies were unburied. Amar Mar Ba'avon Chayim Meisim Eschatatim. Because of our sin, so the bodies of our fathers, forefathers are going to be unburied. Amar Le Rabba LeRabba Bar Mar Iksiv Lo Yasuv Lo Yikburu. L'doman al pnei adama yiyu. So they are not going to be collected. They're not going to be buried, but they're going to be just lying on the ground. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. V'ksiv nivchar mavis mechayim. So, and the pasuk says that they're going to be choosing mavis mechaim, death over life. Okay? Terrible forecast of the Navi Yirmiyahu about the Chorban Bayis. So, Amalei nivchar mavis l'rishayim, shelo yichyu b'olam hazeh, v'yichtu v'yiplu b'gehenim. Okay, and he said that the as far as the Rishayim are concerned, so the death will be better than life. So the because the they're going to choose death over life. Because upon death they're going to fall into Gehenim. Okay, Kasab is safer ben Sira. Okay, so we have darshaned a number of psukim, mostly about a wife and an isha ra and a poor wife. And so now we're going to be doing the same idea. But over here, selections of Ben Sira. Okay, so a word about Ben Sira. So Ben Sira was a Navi? Unclear. Was a Ben Navi? Yeah, absolutely. And he wrote a Sefer. The Sefer is called Ben Sira. Okay, in terms of how he was born. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to take a pass on it for now. Okay, I'll leave that topic alone. Okay. Didn't make it into Tanakh, meaning wrote a Sefer that was certainly a candidate to be brought into Tanakh, but did not make it into Tanakh. Now, I cannot articulate why it didn't make it into Tanakh, but it simply wasn't canonized. Okay, and a couple of Gemaras throughout Shas go through the canonization process of which far make it into Tanakh. The Gemara does talk about how there were a number of Sifrei Tanakh that were on the fence. Right, bubble farm, if you will. Not clear whether or not they were going to make it in or not make it in. I'll give you some candidates: Shira Shirim, Yecheskel, Megillah. Yeah, Megillah. I'm sorry, Megillah Esther. Okay, yeah, we could put that one on the fence as well. The three that I just mentioned did make it into Tanakh, but in other words, but there was definitely back and forth in terms of some of the Sfarim, whether they're going to make it into or not make it into Tanakh. Ben Sira, Sefer Ben Sira did not make it into Tanakh. We have it to this day. I have not read it. In other words, I'm not fluent in Sefer Ben Sira, to say the least. But the parts that I know are the parts of the Gemara quotes. Okay, like over here. I think it's fair to say that the Chachamim had a complicated relationship with Sefer Ben Sira, meaning it wasn't canonized, but the Gemara is going to quote it as if it's Psukim. Okay, so it's a bit complicated.
Highlights.
Yeah, highlights. So we get it highlighted sections of Sefer Ben Sira. Okay, good. Fine. Let's continue. Kasab is Sefer Ben Sira. So it was written in Sefer Ben Sira, Isha Tova Matana Tova. That a Isha Tova is a Matana Tova. It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Skip the next three words. Bechek Erei Elokim Tinasein. And given over to a man who has Yerushamayim. Isha Rav Tzaras Labala. And Isha Rav, she's like Tzaras to her husband. So Maita Kanta Yigarshenu. V'yisrapi Mitzaraso. So what you do is you divorce her, and that's it. That's how you cure yourself of that saras, that plague. Isha Yafa, sorry, it's rough, but I'm just saying over the Gemara. Isha Yafa Ashrei Baala. So as far as a beautiful woman is concerned, her husband's going to be very happy. Mispar Yamav Kiflayim. His years are going to be doubled. Well, she says not actually doubled, but in other words, he's going to really enjoy his time with his beautiful wife. Halami Nechemesh Eschein. Pen tilake b'mitzurasa. What you should do is you should cover your eyes from Eshes Chayin, right? A lovely wife, meaning not your wife, meaning somebody else's wife. Pen tilake b'mitzurasa, because you may get ensnared by her. So in other words, be very careful. Al tat etzel ba'ala, limsoch imo yain v'shechar, and don't hang around with her husband, enjoying wine with him. Ki b'tawar isha yafa rabim hushkatu. Because many men fall into such a circumstance, such a situation, and that's just bad advice. I mean, meaning good advice is not to engage in those activities. V'atzumim kol arugeha. And the people that she killed, in other words, we'll put that in quotes, I mean, she didn't literally kill them, but in other words, ensnare them and trap them into getting involved in adultery, atzumim, they were strong people. But in other words, fell to this kind of temptation. Rabim hayu pitzei rochel, Hamargim ledvar erva, and those who are selling perfume, so going house to house selling perfume to women, so many were injured. In other words, by the husbands who suspected that these perfume peddlers are with their wives. Kinitz oats mavir gachelis kekluv male of kain bate male mirma. like a chicken coop, so too their houses are filled with mirma. Meaning these types of people, door to door peddlers of women's perfume. So they're involved in a lot of this kind of extramarital activity. Alte tzitzaras machar. Okay, and now we're going to go continue in Sefer Ben Sira, advice outside of marital advice, meaning we got a whole bunch of marital advice from Sefer Ben Sira. Now, just in general life advice. Alte tzitzaras machar. Do not worry about tomorrow. Ki lo seida ma ye le yom, shema machar ba ve'eno ninimsa. And because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and meanwhile, all that worrying that you did will just simply not materialize. Okay, so why bother worrying? So nimsa mitzara olam she'ein shalom. And you don't know. Either the problem's not going to be here tomorrow, or not more realistically, but just as possible, you're not going to be here tomorrow. So meanwhile, all that, right? I know, right. So in other words, so don't bother worrying. So mana rabbi mitoch beisecha, v'lo kol tavei beisecha. Basically, be selective about who you allow into your house. Rabbi miyudar shei shlamecha. So many people are going to inquire about your whereabouts and want to talk to you and discuss with you. You know who you should share your secrets to? 1 in 1,000 people. Okay, in other words, be selective about who you trust information with. Okay, good. Life advice. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we're still in Samach Yom Amud Beis. Okay, good. And we are almost finished with all the eitzos that were given in the course of yesterday's daf. And just a couple more words before we get to the Mishnah on the importance and significance of the mitzvah peruvah. Okay, obviously, it's an extraordinarily fundamental mitzvah, the first one recorded in the Torah. So we're going to get a couple of mamre chazal in terms of how important it is to be mekayim the mitzvah peruvah. Amar Abasi ein David ba ashi chalakon hashem shebegof. So do you know when the gula is going to come? So when we deplete the entire guf of its neshamas. Okay, we went over this just a couple of days ago. Samach Beis Amid Alf, we heard this, then we get to hear it again. Good. It's called Chazara. So that means to say that there's some repository up in Shemayim. The name of it is called Guf. Okay? Somewhat ironic, in which what Guf is housing are the Neshamos. But I understand the irony, meaning when the Neshamos come to this earth, you know what houses the Neshamos in this earth? It's our Guf. Okay, so the warehouse up in Shemayim is called Guf. Rashi over here writes, I'm curious. Rashi obviously has gotten this from Midrashim, but Rashi writes over here, do you know where you're going to find it up in Shemayim? Rashi actually is specific about where to find it in Shemayim. He writes, I'm reading the Rashi, Pargud Shechotzeitz ben Shechina l'malachim. So there is some wall separating Shechina and Malachim. And within that wall, it's obviously a thick wall, so that's where you're going to find all the Neshamas. Okay, I'm sure, although I don't know where, but I'm sure this is based on Midrashim. Anyway, so there is this warehouse of Neshamos. Once it's depleted, then the Geula is coming. So obviously, our involvement in the mitzvah Peruvu is to bring the Mashiach and to bring the Geula. Shenemar ki ruach melafanai yatov neshamos ani asisi. Okay, is the ruach melafanai yatov to be surrounded by the ruach uneshamos ani asisi, and to be surrounded by the neshamos as well. Tanya. We learned in another brace. Rabbi Leizer Amar Kol Mishein Osik Peperivirivya Kilo Shofech Damim. Somebody not involved in the mitzvah peruvu is keilu. It's like you're committing murder. Shenemar Shofech Dam Adam BaAdam Damo Yishavechu Ksibasrei VaTem Peruvu. So you look at the placement of two psukim side by side in Parshas Noach. So you have the Isser of Ritzicha and you have the mitzvah peruvu. Rabbi Yaakov Amar keilu Mimayit Hadmus. What you're minimizing is the demus, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we know that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim. The more that we populate the world, the more Tzelem Elokim materializes into this world. The less of Peruvu, the less Tzelem Elokim. Shenemar ki B'Tzelem Elokim asas adam, k'se basre v'atem Peru. Okay, Ben Azai amr ki ilu shofech damim umemayit ha-demus. So Ben Azai says, why limit ourselves to one? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's shvichas damim and it's miyot hadmus. Shenemar v'atem peruvu amru lo le Ben-Azai. So they say to Ben-Azai, you know, let's pause for a moment. Let's just think about this. Meaning that is a wonderful drasha. Meaning you double down on what happens to the person who does involve himself in peruvu. So what we're going to do is we're just going to hold up a mirror and Ben Azai, would you take a look in the mirror? So Yesh Nahadarish, V'na Mikhaim, Na Mikhaim, V'ein Nahadarish. Some people darshan beautifully, but don't and fulfill what they and listen to their messaging. Some don't darshan beautifully, but still are very good in terms of their midos and in terms of their actions. The atan nadarish ve'inai mekayim. But you, Ben Azai, quite frankly, your darshaning is beautiful, but then when it comes to fulfilling that which you say, you don't do it. Ben Azai never was married. Ben Azai didn't fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, and now he's doubling down on the severity of the people who don't involve themselves in peruvu. And so they say to Ben Azai, so why aren't you being involved in the mitzvah peruvu? So Amar lehem Ben Azai uma asesh and afshach chashka b'torah afshal olam she's kama ide acherim. So Ben Azai says, yeah, but I love Torah, and I love Torah so much that I know that the mitzvah peruvu can be accomplished by others, and my love for Torah, I'm so dedicated to Torah, so I just simply cannot find room in my life for a wife. Okay, obviously, really complicated. It needs a lot more clarification, and I'm not going to treat it with the kind of treatment that it deserves right now. I'm going to go on, but I know that this makes for a really interesting topic. Tanya Idach, we learned in another brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Kol Mishein Osek B'Piruv Revikilu Shovech Damim. So Rabbi Eliezer, the drushes now are, we're learning other brises, so it's going to sound repetitive. It is repetitive. But in other words, but the Gemara here is giving us all the brises that treat this topic. Shenemar Shovech Dam Adam V'Samech Lev V'Atem Peru. Okay, fine. We heard this already. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Azar Makilu Mamayit Hadmos Ben Azai Omer V'Chule Amar Lola Ben Azai Yesh Nadorish V'Chule. And even the Gemara itself is like, and you know the rest of this brisa, meaning just go back to the previous brisa and whatever we said previously. So the Gemara just simply had another brisa. The Gemara is just being thorough about giving us all the brisas. Tana Rabbanan. We continue. Uvenucha Yomar Shuvah Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael. So Melam Ishein Hashchina Shara Al Pachus Mishnei Alafim Ushnei Revavos Miyisrael. So when do you have Hashras Hashchina? Now there's always some degree of Hashras Hashchina, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos talks about when there are 10 people in the room, when there are two learning Torah, etc., etc. So, but there's an intensification of Hashras Hashchina in a way in which, as everyone here knows, I can't really articulate how this intensification of Shechina manifests itself and what does that mean. But there is an intensification of Shechina. And when you have 22,000 Jews in a single location, so you have a significant intensification of Hashras Hashchina. So, the point of the Gemara is as follows, then, Uvenucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. All the Gemara did is take the word Rivava, multiply that by two, Alfei, right, meaning Alaf, and multiply that by two, so that's 20,000 plus 2,000, okay, 22,000. Okay, now, what's the Gemara here is making one singular point. Harei, I'll just pick it up from the second line down. So, Harei Shayu Yisrael Shnei Alafim V'Shnei Revos Chasar Achas. So let's for a moment just imagine that there was, instead of 22,000, 21,999. Now, V'Zeh Lo Asuk B'Piri V'Rivya. For the one person who was not responsible, who didn't do his part in the mitzvah Puravu, so Lo Nimsa Zeh Garm L'Shchinish in Istalk Yisrael. So he's going to be the root cause of why there wasn't more Hashras Shechina, because of that one person who wasn't involved in Peruvu. Again, the simple point of the Gemara is that every new Jew introduced into this world is a really big deal. Okay, and exactly what that means. So a number of ways the Gemara expressed itself. We talked earlier this morning about that you'll bring the Geula that much closer. We just expressed the idea right now that there will be more Hashra Shechina in this world. Okay. Abba Chanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Chai Misa. Okay, more ramifications of the person who's not involved in the mitzvah peruvu. Chai Misa Shenemar Uvanim Lo Yulahem Ha Ha Yulahem Banim Lo Mesu. Okay. Acher Mamim Garm L'Shechina Shinistach Meisrael. By not being involved in peruvu, so you're going to be the cause for Silik HaShechina, the Shechina departing, leaving. Shenemar Li Yosechal Alakim Lo Zerecha Acherecha Bezman She Zerecha Acherecha Shechina Shara Ein Zerecha Acherecha Amishara ala etzim v'alavanim. So when we have zera, when we have children, so then we're going to have the hashras hashchina. But when not, so we won't have hashras hashchina. Hashras hashchina will be on etzim v'alavanim. It'll be on wood, it'll be on stones, but it won't be on the Jewish people. Okay. Adkan. Finally, that's a long, right? It's a good amount of Gemara. But after we completed a number of eitzes of the Gemara and the significance and the importance of the mitzvah puravu, okay, we're up to the Mishnah. Samach Dal Amud Aleph, and we're going to continue more on the mitzvah puravu. And so the Mishnah over here takes on a really serious topic, and that is what happens. You're married to a woman, it's been a long time, and the two of you have been trying to have children, and you simply are not successful in having children. And so what do you do? What course of action you should take? So again, this is a really serious topic, and one in which we're going to learn the Mishnah, we're going to learn the Gemara, but obviously, on any practical question, so you are going to speak to your local Rav. That's the most obvious comment I can make today, but good. So the Mishnah goes on to describe where you're married to a woman, you married with her for 10 years. Velo yalada. And unfortunately, the two of you have not been successful in having a child. So, ain rashai levatel. So, what you don't have is permission and license to just simply be mevatel, the mitzvah puravu. Meaning, you have a mitzvah in which to do. Now, granted, you've been married to a woman and you just celebrate your 10th anniversary and you like her. But in other words, but there's also the mitzvah puravu. So, what do you do? So, girshim uteras l'nasala achir. Oh. So, the Mishnah over here doesn't spell out what you need to do. Okay, in a moment, we're going to spell it out. In other words, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to try with another woman. Now, it means either you're going to divorce her and marry another woman, or you'll just simply take on another wife. Okay, and yes, over the course of this morning, we're going to be referencing Avram Avinu, Sarah, Hagar, Yitzchak, Rivka. We're going to go through all that this morning as some very simple model cases of couples who struggle to have children. Okay. Girshim muteres linasi la'acher. V'rashay ha'sheni l'shosnima yud shanim. V'im bipila monim ishashi pila. Well, before I get to that last section. Okay, and now. So she was married for 10 years to this one man, and they didn't have children. She's allowed to marry another man, obviously. But in other words, but the point is that with that second man, they also are given a 10-year deadline in terms of trying to have children. And the simple explanation of the Mishnah is just because you don't know what the root cause is of their lack of children. You don't know if it's her, you don't know if it's him. In other words, there could be a number of reasons why they don't have children, and she may not be the root reason. So, when she marries another man, they're also given a 10-year lease, so to say, in terms of trying to have children. And then after those 10 years are over, okay, so then, now the Mishnah doesn't describe what happens then. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. Okay, so we'll hold on that thought. Now, Im hi pila, mona mishashi pila. Now, let's say she miscarried. So now the 10 year deadline starts anew. In other words, it resets the clock. Meaning clearly by virtue of the fact that she could become pregnant now allows for us to say that pregnancy is definitely possible. And so now the 10 year clock starts now after the miscarriage. Tana Rabbanan. We start with the Braisa. Samach Dal Amud Aleph, immediately after the Mishnah. So, what the Mishnah didn't discuss, and what we get in the Brice over here is an additional halacha, which is, she's not forfeiting her ksuva, meaning 10 years have come and gone and they haven't had children, but that doesn't allow him to just simply say, I'm not giving you ksuva, because again, same idea. We don't know what the cause is for their lack of children. It could be him, may not be her. So she does not lose her ksuva on account of the fact that he elects to divorce her. As in a moment, whereas we're going to point out, he doesn't have to divorce her, but in other words, but if he elects to do so, she does not forfeit her ksuva. So, and the Gemara says, in this 10-year deadline, so there's a remes, meaning the remes is going to come from Avraham Avinu. So the Pasuk says that after 10 years of living in Eretz Yisrael, Lam dechashen yeshivas chosar sol olam min aminyan. Now, they came to Eretz Yisrael. How old was Avram when he came to Eretz Yisrael? It's so funny. Ask that question around, right? You're going to get a lot of struggling with that question, and it's a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, it's one of the first pasukim in Parshas Lach Lecha. Okay, but whatever, people have seen the pasuk again and again, and it's just, you know, it's not popular information. So he was 75 when they came to Eretz Yisrael. Now, him and Sarah were married much earlier than that, meaning they didn't get married then. And then 10 years later, meaning when Avram is 85, so now Sarah says, okay, now we have issues because it's been 10 years. But it hasn't been 10 years they've been married. They've been married significantly longer. The point is that 10 years of living in Eretz Yisrael. So why not count all those years that they were not living in Eretz Yisrael? They were in Haran for many years, so why not count those years? So the Gemara says that the reason why they don't count those years is because they're living in Chutz Aretz. And since they're living in Chutz Aretz, so you know why they're not having children in Chutz Aretz? So the Gemara says it. It's a strong statement. It's a difficult statement. But the avon of living in Chutz Aretz, so that could be the root cause in terms of why they don't have children. Ah, but now they go to Eretz Yisrael, and they're in Eretz Yisrael for 10 years. Ah, so now they realize there's an issue. Lefecha chalahu o shechaltehi. Oh, shneim chavushim beveis asurim. Ein olam lamin aminyan. And as a result of that, meaning, what we're allowed to do is, we don't have to start the clock if there is an explanation of why they don't have children. Meaning, we just learned by Avram and Sarah, they were in Chutz Aretz all those years. That doesn't count towards their 10 years. So the Braisa says, good, so now what we're going to do is we're going to extend. So let's say he's sick, really sick. And let's say, she's sick, or they're incarcerated. Right? Interesting, the Braisa says they're incarcerated. Okay. Okay, fine, whatever. Whatever the case was. In other words, so if there is a plausible explanation why they're not having children, so then that doesn't count towards the 10 years. In other words, that is, the 10 years exclude those explainable years. Okay, let's go on. Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman V'Leilef MeYitzchak Dichsiv. So, we just learned a remez from Avraham Avinu that 10 years is the amount of time. Why? Because they came to Eretz Yisrael and they waited in Eretz Yisrael 10 years before they did something. Now, by the way, right, I spelled it out before, but I'll just spell it out again. What did they do? So Avram took on another wife. Okay. But and he didn't divorce Sarah, which, as we pointed out, in other words, back in the day where polygamy was allowed, so this is a solution to the problem of Puravu. Now, the Gemara wants to know, why don't we learn that from Yitzchak? Meaning, don't we have a similar narrative by Yitzchak, where he and Rivka were married for some time, and they didn't have children. And in fact, it wasn't 10 years, it was 20 years. So vehi Yitzchak ben Arbim shana bekachtos Rivka, uksiv v'Yitzchak ben Shishim shana beledos osam. So he got married to Rivka at 40, and they didn't have children until 60. That's 20 years. So Amar le Yitzchak akur haya. So the Gemara says, that's true, but you know why we're not learning from Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak was sterile. Now, in a moment, we're going to learn how we know that information. But the Gemara is assuming right now that we all know that Yitzchak was sterile. And so, as a result of that, in other words, that's a chola. Meaning, that goes back to what we learned earlier. Meaning that if we know the reason why they're not having children, that doesn't count towards the years. So, Yach Avram Nami Akur Haya. So the Gemara says, okay, but we also know that Avram was sterile as well. Again, how the Gemara knows that, in a moment, we're going to articulate. But the Gemara is assuming that's true. So you don't want to learn from Yitzchak because he was an Akor. Okay, Avram was an Akor as well. So the Gemara says no. As far as Yitzchak is concerned, so the reason why the Torah gives us the year in which he got married and the year that he had a child is because we want to know the lifespan of Yishmael, meaning, this takes us to the end of the first parak of Megillah. Okay, now, I'm not going to go through the entirety of the end of that first parak of Megillah. It's a long sugya. It's a cheshbon. You have to really be holding in terms of the numbers. Okay, I will give you the upshot of the Gemara over there. The upshot of the Gemara over there is that there's 14 missing years. Okay, again, I'm not taking us through how we get there. I'm just giving you the conclusion. There are 14 missing years. What are those 14 missing years? Those are the 14 years in which Yaakov learned in the yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Meaning, he was given by instructions by his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka, knew it's right, it's time to leave. Especially considering the fact that right now your brother wants to kill you. Right, so now is a good time to leave. And we want you to go and find a wife. And they told him specifically where to go. So go to Lavan and marry one of his daughters. Okay, they gave him really clear instructions. Now, not based on the psukim, but based on a whole series of cheshbon that the Gemara at the end of the Megillah goes through, so he didn't go there immediately. In fact, 14 years he spent learning in the yeshiva. Now again, this is not in the psukim, and this is based on a calculation the Gemara makes over there, but that's the conclusion. And that's the reason why we were given the years of Yitzchak. right, from 40 to 60, so that we would have part of that calculation. So the reason why we were given the numbers from Yitzchak of 40, 60 was for this calculation to get us to those 14 years. And the point which the Gemara made over here, which I didn't really spell out, is that those years in which Yaakov was learning in yeshiva, he wasn't punished for those years. Meaning, he was mevatel the mitzvah of kibud avim because, not mevatel, delayed the mitzvah of kibud avim, meaning his parents told him exactly what to do, and he says, okay, no problem at all. And then he takes a 14-year detour to learn Torah. That's not exactly listening to instructions. Ah, so the Gemara over there says that if you're learning Talmud Torah, so then you could put a delay on the kibud avim aspect of it. Okay, which, by the way, has a lot of, that in of itself has a lot of interesting ramifications. We're not gonna explore it, but that's the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Megillah. Anyway, that's what we're doing with the Pesukim regarding Yitzchak and the Torah dating 40 and 60. He was 40 when he got married, 60 when he had a child. Over here, however, as Rashi points out, why does the Torah say that Avram was 75 when he went into Eretz Yisrael, and it was 10 years after going into Eretz Yisrael in which he didn't have a child? That's to teach us these halachas of how long can a man be with his wife before he has to do something. Meaning he didn't have any children, and now he's got to do something. Amrav Yitzchak Avinu Akur Haya. Okay, now, the Gemara made a couple of really bold statements, and now the Gemara is going to back it up. Meaning Yitzchak was an Akur, he was sterile, and Avram was sterile. And we're going to say things about Sarah as well in terms of her conditions. Okay, so all this is going to be explained and expounded. So Amar Rebbe Yitzchak. Okay, I like the connection, right? Which of the it sounds like it's an Amora, but anyway. So it's Rebbe Yitzchak commenting on Yitzchak Avinu. So Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Akor Haya. Okay, so Yitzchak was sterile. V'yatar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto, ali sholo nemar ela l'nochach. Malam ishishnei makurim hayu. So l'nochach ishto, meaning they're davening on behalf of his wife, but it's not on behalf of. L'nochach means basically they parallel one another in terms of their challenges. What were their challenges? Both of them were sterile. So ihache v'yatar lo, okay, now I'm right. So vayeater lahemi baile. So the Gemara says, okay, but so now they're both davening, meaning right, they both stand in corners of the house and they're davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu because they realize that both of them are in a state of sterility. So now Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to who's tefillah. So it says vayeaser lo. Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah. Why not hers? Meaning she was also davening. So the Gemara says, and Rashi brings this down in Chumash. Because you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik to that of a tzaddik ben rasha. A tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So not only does he have his tefillahs, he also has chosavos. He has his forefathers' tefillahs as well, included in his tefillahs. Okay. Anyway, akurim. So why is it? In other words, the Gemara now is noting the trend. Avram and Sarah were struggling to have children. Yitzchak and Rivka were struggling to have children. Not only that, were they struggling, meaning, as we just learned together, they were in a state of sterility. So why? Meaning, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why is that the trend? Chavrus and I pointed out this morning, by Yaakov, by the way, it wasn't that at all. In fact, the Pasuk says, Reish Yisoni, and Rashi and Chumash brings down that Mamish, like Yaakov, like the first attempt to have child, he had a child. So the trend ends with Yaakov, and I really don't have an explanation why, but by Avram and Yitzchak and Sarah and Rivka, so they were Akurim. So why? So Mimnesha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Metav L'Tfilas Amshot Tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Tfilas of Tzadikim. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a place. Us, I mean, I'm not referring to us, I'm talking about Tzadikim, but puts us in a place where we have to dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu likes the Tfilas of his Tzadikim. The tefillah of a tzaddik is compared to an atar. And in other words, we just learned the pesukim in Parshas Toldos, right? Vayetar, vayeaser. Now that's a reference to tefillah, but why compare it to an atar? Now, first of all, what is an atar? It's a fork. It's some sort of pitchfork. So ma atar zem ha'apech ha'tfuah mimakum ha'makum kach tefillah sam shal tzaddikim mehafeches midosef shal kash baruchu mimidas ragzanos amidas rachmanios. So you see what a pitchfork does. In other words, a pitchfork takes all that wheat and turns it over. The tefillos of tzaddikim do exactly the same thing. Takes a Kadosh Baruch Hu, moves them from midas ragzanios to midas rachmanis. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami Avram Vesara Tumtamim Hayu. As far as Avram and Sarah are concerned, so they were totally stuffed up. Meaning that their sterility was so severe that it was full blockage. Shenemar Habitu El Sur Chutzavtem. We're on top of the Amud Beis. The El Makevis Bor Nukartem. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to do is basically, he had to open up the orifices. Now the pasuk over here, Kipshuto, is not talking about Avram and Sarah, but the Gemara's understanding over here is that the pasuk is a description of Avram and Sarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to literally open up orifices. Uksiv habito al Avram avichem ve'al Sarah techul alchem, and the pasuk goes on to describe, right? This is, yeah, it's a hemshach. It's the 51st parak of Yeshayahu. And go back and look at Avram Avinu ve'al Sarah techul alchem, who gave birth to you. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravu Sarah Yimeno Island is Haisa. The Gemara describes Sarah as being an islandess, meaning she just simply did not have the equipment. She didn't have a rechem. Shenemar v'tisara akara ein la valad, afilu base valad ein la. Meaning the Gemara over here says that aside from the fact that she didn't have a child, she didn't even have a base valad. Okay. So Amar Rav Yehuda b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei de Rav Loshanu ela b'doros Rishonim. Sheshno seyem merubos. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we're not pausing. We're not stopping over here. We're going to go a little bit further than the Gemara. But, okay, so what do we have so far in terms of this, our main sugya of today? In other words, 10 years is a lease in which a husband and wife are given in terms of where they're going to try to have children. And if after 10 years they don't have children, so at that point in time, there needs to be an action point. Now, the action point can be divorce and marry another woman or just simply take on another woman, but there needs to be an action point after 10 years. Okay, and we spent a good amount of time today's daf talking about Avram Avinu, Yitzchak. Right, who do we learn it from? Not Yitzchak. Yitzchak was making a separate point. We're learning it from Avram in terms of this 10-year extension. Avram was married to Sarah many years beforehand. Yeah, but they were living in Chutz Aretz beforehand. That doesn't count. In other words, there's an explanation in terms of why they didn't have children. The oven of living in Chutz Aretz. Okay, so now, Gemara is going to discuss the following. So a 10-year lease. Is it really 10 years? Meaning, yes, we just learned it was 10 years. Maybe you have to mark it correct. Market correct? Why would you have to market correct? So let's see the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav Loshanu Ela B'Doros Rishonim Sheshno Seim Merubos Aval B'Doros Achronim Sheshno Seim Muatos Sheshonim Amechza Keneged Shlosha Iburim. So 10 years is back in the days when people lived for a really long time, right? Each one of the Avos was supposed to live 180 years, right? You've heard me say this before, right? Rashi and Chumash says this. So each one of the Avos were supposed to live 180. 5 years were knocked off of Avram. Rashi gives an explanation why. All right. Many years were knocked off of Yaakov Avinu. Again, Rashi gives an explanation why. Rashi? Whatever. Okay. Yitzchak was the one who actually made it to 180. But in other words, but you're talking about people who lived, right, for what we would consider extraordinarily long lives, meaning the longevity that we don't get to see. So what you have to do now proposes, this is Rav Yehuda. Okay, so what Rav Yehuda proposes is, okay, but what you have to do now is that 10 years is when the lifespan was, let's say, 180. Okay, but now our lifespans are significantly shorter, so therefore we can't wait 10 years. What we need to do is we have to market correct it based on what the average lifespan is now.
Prorated.
Yeah, 100%. So Rabbah, I'm a Rav Nachman. Now he brings it down to 2.5 years. Why 2.5 years? Because 2.5 years you have basically three pregnancy opportunities. In other words, the pregnancy is 9 months. Take 9 months, multiply that by three. And so it'll get you to 27 months. Okay. So 2.5 years. So Rab Amar Rav Nachman Shalosh Shanim Keneged Shalosh Pekidos. So he says, I'm also ready to market correct, but you have to market correct it to 3 years. Why? You need three Rosh Hashanahs. Meaning those are three times in which you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's full attention and ask him and petition him for a child. So it's three Rosh Hashanahs. Dam Ramar, Rosh Hashanah, Nifkadu, Sarah, Rachel, V'chana. You know, Rosh Hashanah is such an auspicious time in which Rachel and I'm sorry, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were all answered in Rosh Hashanah. So, Amar, Rabba, Lesnu, Lani, Klale. So, Rabba says, ridiculous. Meaning, there's no market correcting. Meaning, 10 years is 10 years. You don't have to overthink the room. In other words, even though, yes, it's true, our longevity is not the same as it was back in the days of Avram and Yitzchak. You're right. But in other words, but what did we learn together? It's called the Mishnah. Who authored the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right? When lifespans were what we consider to be normal lifespans. And he didn't mark it correct. If Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is not market correcting, we don't need to market correct. Michti, Masi, Zaman, Takin, Rebbe. Vahabi, May, Rebbe, Iman, Shani, Dixiv. Yemeshino, Sinabam, Shivim, Shana. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara proposes a possibility of maybe moving the lease, anything to from a 10-year to maybe 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And the Gemara just simply rejects that notion. Next. Vahisha, Melozacha. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that she will not forfeit her ksuva. Meaning, if he decides to divorce her after 10 years, she will not forfeit her ksuva. The Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe she should. Maybe it was her fault. Okay? So, to which the Gemara's answer is, Ihi kevan delo mifgada periyavirvya lo miyanche. So, really interesting. The Gemara makes reference to the fact that she's not mitzuva. She's not obligated in the mitzvah puravu. Now, good luck trying to fulfill the mitzvah puravu without a woman. And this is tomorrow's daf, meaning tomorrow we're going to discuss this in more detail. So, but since she is not, she's not mitzvah, so therefore she has no onish. She will not be punished neither min hashamayim nor financially, meaning she will not be forfeiting her ksuva. Ini v'hamr le rabban le rabbi abba bar zavda nasiv isa v'oli b'ni. So, they said to Rabbi Abba, I got this great idea. Why don't you marry a woman and have a child? To which he said, look, had I been Zocha, I would have had for my first wife. So over here, in other words, he's laying the fault, not on him, but on his first wife. So the Gemara says, Hasam Dechui de Kamatchu L'Rabban. The Gemara says, no. In other words, we all know the truth. Meaning the readers of the Gemara, we know the truth. And that is that it was him who was sterile. He didn't want to say it. So the Rabbi Abba Brazav the Yakami Pirka the Rav Huna and the Shir of Rav Huna. Okay, as we're going to end today's daf on a really unfortunate note, and that is the Shir of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna went long in terms of his Shir. Now we just referenced this the other day in the daf, but now the Gemara is going to really spell it out. And because he went so long, so people were too scared to go up and to go to the bathroom, even though they needed to do so. All right, holding it in is dangerous. I'm not speaking medically. I'm just speaking now in terms of the assumptions that Gemara's making. So holding it in is difficult medically, and it creates sterility. I'm going to assume, I think this is the correct way to think about it, but that Rav Huna did not know this.
Now, how come Rav Huna himself didn't
go to the sterile? Okay, fine. Fair question. I don't know. So I'm going to assume that Rav Huna didn't know this, but the Gemara is going to talk about the casualties of Rav Huna's shir. Okay, so I understand. It's going to sound a little bit rough, but okay. The Gemara says it. I'm repeating. So the number of Amoraim that became sterile as a result of Rav Huna shir. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zavdi Yakami Pirka de Rav Huna, Rav Gidol Yakami Pirka de Rav Huna, Rav Chabal Yakami Pirka de Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes Yakami Pirka de Rav Huna. Right, that's the one we just saw 2 days ago. Rav Acher Bar Yaakov. Achde Suskinta, and as far as Rav Acher Bar Yaakov is concerned, so he got a reprieve, meaning he was in the Shir Rav Huna, but he did a maneuver. So Tluya Ba'arza, so what they did is they suspended him upside down. Do I have to say, don't try this at home? So they hung him upside down, Debe Rabbi, Debe Rav, V'nafik Minei, Kuhutza Yarka, and out came some sort of green mucus. Okay, so again, I teach Gemara for a living, so right, but it sounds like he had some sort of infection, and they were able to discharge the infection. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Shisin Sabe Havinam V'chula Yaakov Mipirka de Rav Huna. Total number of casualties of those who got sterile in Rav Huna Shir, 60. Labar Me'ana, but notable exception would be myself. That you have a little bit of chachma, you have a little bit of wisdom, and you know something, so you know how to deal with things. So, okay, so I knew how to handle the situation, others didn't. Okay, I know obvious questions, by the way, like why didn't he share this information with others? Okay, I don't have great answers. Anyway, we're going to pause over here. Not a pleasant way to end the daf, admittedly, But we'll pause over here, and tomorrow, Mir Hashem, with a shorter daf, we'll be able to catch up fully. But we're in a good place. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, we finished off with a number of etzas regarding a good wife, bad wife, and various occupations that really that could potentially lead to adultery, and one should avoid those kinds of occupations and other things. We quoted a good number of psukim today from Ben Sira, from Sefer Ben Sira, which, as I described earlier today, the Chachamim have a complicated relationship with that Sefer, but the Gemara quotes from it as if it's quoting psukim, okay, which gives marital advice and general life advice that we went through today. The significance and importance of the mitzvah peruvu, right? So that took us through a good part of the bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Beis and the top of Samach Dalet Amid Aleph in terms of how important it is to be mekayim the mitzvah peruvu. And if you don't, and if you're not mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, like, what are the ramifications of that? And the Gemara spoke in really strong terms. I'm not going to go over every detail, but that was a good part of today's daf. And then the 10-year lease. You're married to a woman, so, and you're struggling to have children after 10 years, so there needs to be an action point. Meaning, at this point in time, you now realize, you recognize that you and her are not going to have children, and so therefore, what you need to do is you need to have an action point. That could be divorce or marry another one, or simply take another wife in. Now, if you elect to divorce her, she's not going to forfeit her ksuva, and we learned in the Mishnah, if she miscarries, that resets the 10-year clock. Okay. Other things that we saw over the course of this is the source of this halacha. So we learned it from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael at 75 years of age. Only at 85 did Avraham Avinu and Sarah say, we have to do something. Now we need to do something. So what he did is he introduced Hagar into the relationship as per the advice of Sarah. Okay. And then, if you're right, I'm assuming everyone here knows the Chumash, things got complicated after that, but that's the, but our point for today is the 10 year clock. As far as why not learning it from Yitzchak, so the Gemara discussed that as well. Okay. Why is it that our avos were sterile? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear the tefillah of our tzaddikim. As far as Avram's sterility, Sarah's sterility, the Gemara speaks in detailed terminology in terms of, they were sterile. What psukim speak to this idea? The Gemara describes Sarah as being an islandess, so not even having a rechem. Okay. The Gemara's last discussions that we had in today's daf, do we need to market correct the 10-year deadline, considering the fact that our lifespan is significantly shorter than that of the Avos? And to that, the Gemara emphatically says no. Why doesn't she forfeit her ksuva after 10 years and you decide to divorce her? Because, first of all, you don't know if it's her fault. And secondly, the Gemara points out, she doesn't have the mitzvah, peruvu. So you can't punish her for something she doesn't have a mitzvah for. Okay, and finally, the Shir of Rav Huna. The Gemara says there was a lot of casualties because of the Shir of Rav Huna. Ad kan.